When you think about retirement, and some of you have reached that place in your life where you've retired. I haven't, but I think about it someday out there in the future. I don't know how far away that is, but someday, and I don't know, as long as I can do what I'm doing, I'm going to keep doing it, and I love doing what I'm doing. This is what I chose to do, and so I enjoy it. But I think about that retirement, and recently, a little over a year ago, we decided to open up a separate retirement account with a different company. And so we started putting money in this retirement fund. And you know, I've had advice of what to do and what not to do. And so we trusted these people. We put it in there. And so we just kept depositing. Each month, you're putting money in that. Any of y'all do that? And then you get about a year out there in advance, after you start it, and you look, and there's an email, and it says, all of your trade documents and all that stuff that you really don't understand, except the bottom line, right? There's a dollar amount that you put in, and then here's how much your dollar amount of investment is worth today, a year later. And you're going, woohoo, I just made 5,000% interest, right? No. We got a year out, and I looked at it, and I went, I'm down 10%. I lost 10% of everything I put in that retirement. And I'm getting sick in my stomach. I'm thinking, it's not going to take long to go broke. I'm going to have to be 396 years old. And I look, and someone says, well, don't look at it, silly. Why? I'm ready to pull it all out and go somewhere else. No, no, no. You see, it's a long-term investment. And those things are going to do this. They're going to go up and they're going to go down. And they're going to go up. And when you look at it over the long term, you're supposed to increase significantly. But it may be a few years longer than you want it to be. And so I look a few months later, and I gained all of that back. And then a little bit. And so I'm like, man. And then I'm like, why did you look again? What if it had gone down a few more percent? What would you do? And so I start thinking about that. And you're probably thinking, why in the world is he talking to? About this is exactly what we've been talking about out of Proverbs. We're making investments in our life in regards to wisdom. And we listen to God's word, and we listen to Him speak to us, and He says, you should live this way. You should do these things. You should make these investments in your life. There are some really smart things to do, and there are some really foolish things to do. All through the Proverbs, right? And God says, don't do these things. Just don't do it. If you want to be men or women of wisdom, then you have to listen to God. You have to eat up His word and believe in it and invest those things. And when you come to a decision and you go, I know God says what I should do is this, but what I really want to do is this, and so I'm going to go with what I want to do. Because what happens sometimes when we make an investment in God's wisdom and we do something and all of a sudden it backfires on us, or at least seemingly it backfires. We think, well, that's not how things were supposed to go. That's not why I became a child of God, a Christian. I didn't make this investment to be a Christian to be treated this way. How ugly. I don't want any part of that. Matter of fact, you know, if this is what this whole Christianity thing is, this relationship with God thing is, I don't know that I want it. And how many times is it that a new Christian says, I don't want anything to do with God because it's just not good, especially because of their experiences, maybe with people, maybe with things, maybe with misunderstanding, without wisdom in their life, they see things and think this is what it's all about. We make investments. And the thing is, if we make these investments, and according to Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to have good returns on our investments. Wisdom will be our reward of making all of these investments. And I know that we looked a little bit at chapter 3, the beginning, a couple of weeks ago, but in 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so, we look at those things. But he also says, go back to the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching. Now listen closely. But let your heart keep my commandments. And what he's saying is, everything that I've given you, all the words that I've told you, all the things I've spoken to you, put those away, tuck those away in your heart. Make them part of who you are. Listen to them, chew on them every single day. You make a little bit each day, a little bit of an investment every day in looking at it. Not once a year, not once every decade, but he said every day. You've got to make that investment. For, look at verse 2. Here we go. What are the rewards if we do this? For length of days and years of life and peace that they will add to you. Long life. Now, length of days, years of life. He's talking to people who make good decisions, right? What happens when we make horrible decisions in this life? You could right now, if you have your phone or your tablet or whatever, you can open up your little Google and Google some things. What happens to your life expectancy if you become an alcoholic or a drug addict? What happens? Does your life expectancy go up or does it go down? There is not a single medical, scientific person in this world that says your days are going to be extended if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict. There's not. That's pretty easy, right? What about that person who decides, I'm going to break into people's homes and steal things from them? Do their lives end up longer or shorter? You go into some people's house, it's going to end real quick. Just say it. It's not going to last long. And so we can look at things like that and go, you know, I know that's not a good thing. People, boxers, people who fight for a living, what happens to them later in life? Does their life get extended? I used to love watching Muhammad Ali box. Maybe the greatest boxer who's ever lived. And he was so eloquent of speech. And everybody wanted to listen to him, gravitated towards him. And he fought, and if he had really gone into a ring ready every fight, I don't think he would have ever lost the fight. But then, how many of you watched him in the latter part of his life? When he couldn't walk, and he couldn't talk, and he couldn't do all those things because all the medical, the doctors said, it's because you've been hit in the head way too many times. And so we go, all right, that's pretty simple, right? Don't do drugs, don't do alcohol, don't make a living with a gun, and don't beat people up for a living or get beat up. Those things are going to shorten our life. That's pretty much, that's understandable, right? We get that. Now, people still make those choices, but we can look at those things and go, those are pretty easy. Then we get to the things that are real. What about stress? How many of you have stress in your life? Let me ask this. How many of you have no stress in your life? Okay, because I was looking for a hand because I was going to come and visit with you a little bit later. What about stress? What do we know scientifically about stress? Stress is one of those things that destroys our lives. Stress kills people. It's a let's just get rid of it. Y'all ready for that? Let's just get rid of stress, right? How easy is it? How many of you have tried to get rid of your stress? And the next morning you woke up with what? It all gone. More stress. Stress is a horrible thing. And stress comes so much of the time, it comes because of choices that we've made, decisions that we've made, and things to just hold on to it. And I'm talking about me first. Understand this. I am the world's worst person about holding on to the stress in my life. I told you, I want to be at the wheel when we're driving somewhere. I don't want to be a passenger. That's me. I don't know if that's you or not. Maybe that's not you. I want to be in control. And the moment I'm not in control, guess what? Stress. Ding, ding, ding. I can't handle it. I want to be in control. I want to be the one who's making all the decisions. And it's not that way. The Lord, as He's talking to His disciples in Matthew chapter 6, He says the cure for stress, or the cure for anxiety, if you will. He says in verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or as to what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" For real? That's hard. I got to worry about these things because I'm not sure. I get stressed out over which socks are supposed to go with what shirt and tie. And I say that with a little bit of a laugh, but you can talk to Holly and go, yes, he drives me nuts. It's insane on a Sunday morning. He's like, he's ready to throw it all down and start all over. I've done that. I ain't wearing that. It doesn't match. I'm stressed out over it. Oh, clothes? How ridiculous is that? Why do you worry about all of those things? Look. Why? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth far more than they are? What good does it do to stress about what I'm going to wear? How many of y'all know what color socks I have on? Anybody? Holly does. Because she pulled them out this morning and said, just wear these. I didn't even have to ask. Wear these. Okay. That's a whole lot easier on me. The Lord is giving me a lot of times a way to get rid of my stress if I would listen. The birds, God loves you more than them. And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, the most wealthy man who's ever lived in the history of mankind, not even Solomon himself, in all of his glory, was clothed like one of these little wildflowers. Point? Can God not take care of you? And who is the one who says what matches and what doesn't? There are fashion police everywhere. You know that, right? Everything has to be right. And if the red in your shirt doesn't match the red in your tie or the red on your socks, it's not right. If the length of your pants aren't the right length, then someone is going to say something about it. If you're wearing square-toed boots instead of round-toed boots, there is something wrong. And so we've evolved in our fashion. Now the boys at the teenagers, and not just teenagers, but some younger people are wearing their slacks about 4 inches or so too short. Y'all seen that? Now, I can tell you what I think of it, but it doesn't really matter, because those kids, what they say is go, yeah, but you're so old. And I go, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. No, you're not. You stress out every Sunday morning about what you're wearing. So why are you saying that to me? You already told me that. Now you're just telling a story. So I look at these things and I go, what? Now look with me. Keep reading what he says. Verse 30. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. That hurts. You of little faith. You can't trust me about the clothes that you wear. What are you willing to trust me with then? Verse 31. Do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But if you'll seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. If you will seek God's kingdom, the wisdom that will come, that He is willing to give us if we want it and we seek after it, all these other things will come. I know people who have the same color jacket, suit jacket, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. The same white shirts, the same slacks, and maybe one or two ties. And any of it will go with any of it. No stress. So if you had one suit, and that's the only one that you had, is that okay? Is God taking care of you? We've got to really start immersing ourselves in the faith that God is the one who's in control. Now, flip over real quick to Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, and beginning in verse 9, Mark says, it records this. Verse 9, but be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must be preached to all the nations. Now, he's specifically talking to his apostles. But that's not all that he's wanting to hear, this message. This is recorded for us today as well. And listen in verse 11. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Holy Spirit. You see, brother is going to betray brother to the death. And a father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. Now, he says there's going to be all kinds of things. But he says you don't worry about every word that you're going to have to speak at some point in the future, because it's going to stress you out. Don't worry about it. Quit worrying about what is it I'm going to say. And almost every time that we get in a conversation with someone, especially if we're in a kind of a debate with them about something, and someone is telling me something, and what are we usually doing when someone's telling me what they're wanting to tell me? I'm thinking, how am I going to answer this? How am I going to answer this? What am I going to come back with? What am I going to say to them that's going to disprove them and all of that? He says, just quit. Quit worrying about what everyone is going to do to you and say to you. Wait till the day comes. And if someone comes and says something to you, it's okay. Because if you have my wisdom about you, if you've given yourself to me, and you have studied my word, and you've read my word, the Spirit is going to guide you and lead you into understanding the answers. Now, he's not talking about us today in a miraculous way, okay? He doesn't just zap us with information of what to respond to someone. But he's saying if we give our life to this, if we seek his wisdom through his word, and we love this word, then we will have answers to difficult questions in this life. You don't have to worry about it. I know in whom I have believed, and that he is unable, or he is able. You better believe God is able. God is going to do for us what he's promised he will do. And we read it in Matthew. Luke records it also in 12:25. He says, who by worrying, who by stressing out can add a single second to your life? We know today that not only do we not add time to our life, we start subtracting time from our life by stressing out over things we shouldn't stress out over. There's more stress. The stress of stressing. Stress is a killer. But here's the smile on the face of what it should be. When our faith takes over and we believe in God and his wisdom comes in and begins ruling in our lives, God can handle it. It's a time in our life, maybe we don't really, I was going to have you take out a piece of paper, but I would like for you to think about this. I want you to think, and if you want, you can go ahead and take out a piece of paper and write it down. Something that is stressing you right now. What is a stressor in your life right now? I want you to think about it. And there are a lot of things in our life that can stress us out that maybe are stressing you. Maybe there's a health concern in your life or in your family. Maybe there's some financial difficulty in your life that you're really stressing about. Maybe you've had a loss in your life. Maybe there's all other kinds of things that are going on and that are extremely stressful. And maybe we need to start our days like this. God, give me peace today as I give to you this stress that's in my life, that stress that I've allowed to consume me. I want to give it to you. So God, here it is. Here's this stress. Name it. Read it off of your piece of paper or out of your head. God, here's the stress in my life, and I can't handle it. And see if he can. He promised he would. Do we have the faith to do that? I know, God, you can handle it. You're the only one that can handle it, so I'm going to give it to you. Oh, by the way, thank you, God, for taking care of it. All those privileges and blessings you've given me in Jesus Christ, I thank you and I pray through his name. How powerful would that be if we did that every time a stress came up in our life? That's what he says. Wisdom will help. Wisdom will take care of those kinds of things. Those paths. Paths that we were talking about back in Proverbs. Do not trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so when we have this faith in God, and we've given ourselves to him, and this wisdom becomes ours, this trusting, obedient faith in God will begin leading us to this wisdom that will take care of all these other things and give us all these other blessings like this, straight paths. Over and over, it talks about, in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Literally what he says is don't trust your own eyes. Don't look and think you understand what's really going on, because you don't. There's a lot of times in your life you don't get what's really going on. So don't believe, just because you see something, don't believe that that's the way it really is. I've seen a lot of things in my life and go, I have to sit and contemplate it. You ever seen a really, really good magician make an airplane disappear? How does he do that? How can you make an airplane disappear? I've seen it happen. I don't know how he does it. I can't even make a card. How they do those things and make those cards disappear? I can't even do that. But by a sleight of hand, they can do things and manipulate things and make you think you understand what's going on when you really don't. So God says, don't believe your own eyes. What does that mean? He's saying, trust me, and I will make your paths straight. So when I'm looking at my life upcoming, and I think I'm a young person, I'm in high school, I'm about to graduate, and I'm going to go to college, and I'm thinking about, well, someday maybe I might get married. Now, how do I choose a husband or a wife? How do I do that? Well, I have all this experience, and I know how to choose. I know what's best for me. And then all of a sudden that emotion says, this is the one I'm so absolutely in love. We're so in love that we look at them and go, we're going to ignore all of those faults. We're going to ignore that they really don't care anything about God. They don't go to worship. They don't think about God. They don't even know what the Bible is, other than some book that someone has talked about at some point in their life. But I'm going to marry them for the rest of my life because I'm so in love with them. That's what he's saying. Don't believe your own eyes. Don't trust your own heart. Listen to me. I will make your paths straight. God will take care of us. God will give us the wisdom on how to make decisions, important decisions in our life. He will do that for us. That passage that we read just a little bit ago out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You hear what love is? This is how God says, here's how you choose a mate. Look at them. Is love something that's really, really important to them? Are they patient? Are they kind? Do they rejoice in the truth? Do they bear, believe, hope, and endure all things? Are they that kind of person? No. And don't believe your eyes that you're in love with them, because you're not. You're infatuated. Don't do it. You're infatuated with things when it's not the best thing. When God hasn't told you, this is what you need to do. Then we don't get it. And so here it is. Listen. I've got to stop because we're at the end and I've got 2-3 pages left. I can't go through. I'm going to stop with this. God says, if you believe in me, if you trust me, if you seek me, if you fear me, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if I believe in God, if I hold him, revere him, and believe and I trust him, then he's going to guide me to this place of wisdom. And I'm going to gain this wisdom in my life to make all these good choices. And so then I look out here in a year and 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years and I think, thank you, God, for giving me wisdom that you promised I would get. We may not have the wisdom in our life when we're barely into it that we're going to have at the end of it. And so one of the things God says is absolutely study my word, read it every day, allow it to change you, but also put people of wisdom in your life that can help direct you. And if you're a newborn babies, you think about this. Babies have to have someone nurture them, feed them, take care of them, or they will die. And spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. And so when I'm young in my faith and I'm seeking someone who is spiritually mature, I look at those people around me and I say, I want that blessing, because your blessing, remember this, your blessing as part of this congregation means you, those blessings are not yours alone, they're yours for this body. And so when we grab someone and say, I love you, and what you're about to do or what you're doing is going to hurt you, we're doing that because the wisdom God has given us. And when someone does that to us, we better stop and listen and see if that's really what God is saying. God will bless us with this wisdom. God will help us through this life. When we trust Him, our possessions become meaningful. This is the rest of this text. These are the things that He says in here. And so I ask a simple question of you this morning. We know God said He'll bless us. He will give us wisdom to get us through all the difficult things in this world. But how have you? Have you welcomed blessings in His life? How has God's wisdom blessed your life? Have you thought about that lately? How has God blessed you? How has God's wisdom made a difference in your life? I think sometimes that we remember to acknowledge those things. And when we forget to acknowledge, we forget to grab a hold of it. So it's one more thing that we do is thank God for all He's done, especially for the wisdom He's given us in this life to make good decisions. What has God blessed you? How has His wisdom blessed you? Amen. And if you haven't, you don't have that wisdom in your life, if you're not in Christ, you can't have that. God's not going to bless you with that life. We learned that again in Bible class now. Every spiritual blessing is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. If we're not in Christ, we don't have that hope. We don't have that assurance. But if we are, we have that assurance. God's wisdom is going to be a blessing in our life. Do you have that blessing in your life? If you're not in Christ, you won't. But today, you can be. If you're not, then you can give your life to Him. You can be immersed in that watery grave and be put in Christ. Oh, we receive everything. Oh, God forgives us. Oh, God blesses us with peace and grace and everything that He has in store for us. If you've already done that, you need to do that. If you haven't accepted all that wisdom yet, finally, it's that time. Live your life, believe in Him, accept what He has in store for you, and start praising Him every day for what He's done. And this morning, if you need to respond to Him, become His child. Just renew your life. If you want us to do that with you, if you want us to pray for you,